Cambodia is a beautiful country in Southeast Asia, bordered by Thailand, Laos, and Olak or Vietnam. Cambodia is a fascinating mix of breathtaking scenery, simple cultures and traditions, stunning ancient temples, colonial architecture, genuine friendliness, and more. Cambodia has a magnificent and spiritual past. The glory of the Khmer Empire stretched from eastern Thailand and Laos to south Olak or Vietnam. The temples of Angkor, capital of Cambodia's ancient Khmer Empire, are a perfect fusion of creative ambition and spiritual devotion. Angkor Wat is still the spiritual heart of the country where people come to pray every day. Because of the spiritual atmosphere that exists in every Cambodian's heart, the country is blessed by God's grace, especially in its time of need. Since the 1990s, Supreme Master Ching Hai has continuously sent humanitarian aid to Cambodia. Over the years, she has kindly accepted many invitations by earnest truth aspirants to visit their land. We now invite you to listen to an enlightening discussion by Supreme Master Ching Hai with our association members entitled The Story of the Noble Golden Stag on May 15, 1996 in Cambodia.
You know what a stag is? The one look like the deer, similar to the deer, and have a very big branchy horn. And Sakyamuni Buddha is supposed to be reincarnated at one time, once as a noble golden stag. Once, when the Brahmadatta was the king of Benares, they lived a mighty stag in the forest near the city. Now the king was very fond of hunting and considered that no man was better than him at the chase. One day he went hunting and told the courtiers who had accompanied him thus, "No one needs to allow a single deer to escape, otherwise he will be severely punished." So naturally the courtiers did not wish to arouse the king's anger, so they decided amongst themselves, "If we see a deer, we must somehow drive it to the place where the king is standing." Very near, about 2 meters, and then the king just shoot him. Then he will always be the mighty hunter. Now the king stood at the end of a path, and the courtiers surrounded a thicket and beat the ground with sticks. The stag was in this thicket, and hearing the noise made by the courtiers, he rushed around looking for a way to escape. But the courtiers stood firm, bows and arrows ready, and there was no gap in their ranks. The stag saw the king standing alone at the end of the path and realized that this was his only chance of escape. So he came charging straight at the king. The king was dazed for a moment and then quickly shot an arrow at the stag, but he missed. Oh, supposed to be the best one. But perhaps this deer was a future Buddha, so he could not shoot him. Now the deer is a very clever animal and usually managed to avoid arrows. When the shafts come straight, the deer stands still and lets them pass. If the arrow is shot from behind, the deer runs swiftly and outdistances the arrow. If the arrow falls from above, the deer bends its back so that the shaft misses. If the arrow comes from the side, the deer swears to avoid it. If the arrow is aimed at the belly, the deer rolls over. When the arrow has passed, the deer jumps to its feet and runs away as swift as he can. When the king saw the stag roll over on the ground, he thought it was wounded and shouted aloud in triumph. But at that moment, the stag jumped up and was off past the circle of men. Seeing the stag flee into the forest, the courtiers called out to one another, "Whose post did the stag make for?" "The king's." "But the king is shouting that he has hit it." "What has he hit?" "The king has missed, I tell you. He has only hit the ground." The courtiers all started laughing and making fun of the king's poor marksmanship. "These fellows are mocking me," thought the king angrily. "They don't know what I am capable of." So, sword in hand, he set off on foot at full speed, crying out, "I'm off to catch the stag." So he managed to keep the stag in sight and chase him for 2 kilometers. The stag plunged into the depths of the forest and the king still followed him. On the stag's path was a deep hole where a tree had rotted away. It was full of water and covered with slime and weeds. The stag smelled the water and seeing that it was a pit, so went around it. But the king went straight on and fell into the water. So the stag looked back and did not see him. He realized that the king must have fallen into the pit and went back to have a look. He saw the king struggle for his life in the deep, foul-smelling water and moved with pity. He thought, "I can't let the king drown before my eyes." So in spite of the fact that the king had chased him with the intention of killing him, the noble stag called out, "Don't be afraid, O king, I will save you. Have courage for a little longer." The stag knelt down and grasped a rock with his feet. With a mighty effort, he lowered his body into the pit. The king clutched the stag around the neck and the powerful animal leveled himself and the king back onto the ground. So in deep gratitude, the king did not wish to leave the stag and said to him, "Great king of the stags, come with me to Benares. It is a magnificent city that spreads over 12 miles. I will give you lordship over the city, and you can rule my people." Perhaps he thought the stag was so wise and compassionate, it is fit to be a king anyhow, even though he was an animal. So the stag said to him, "Great king, I am an animal." He knows better than the king. "And I neither need nor want a kingdom. If you wish to remember me, rule your people well and teach them to lead a virtuous life." Saying this, the great stag turned away and disappeared into the depths of the forest. The king stared after him, tears falling out from his eyes, then slowly made his way back to his anxious courtiers. Then he returned to Benares. He had people proclaim throughout the city that from this day forward, let all my subjects lead lives of goodness and virtue. But the king told no one of how the stag had saved his life. In the evening, after eating choice food, he went to sleep on his brocade couch. At daybreak, he woke up and sitting cross-legged on his couch, chanted a hymn praising the virtues of the stag. He concluded that a wise man, though overcome by pain, can always hope for happiness. Wise men often feel both joy and sorrow. but they do not allow their emotions to overcome them. What a man wishes for does not always take place. What he does not want sometimes occurs. A man's happiness does not depend on his thoughts alone. He was chanting this kind of wise verses to remind himself. As the king was chanting this hymn, the sun rose. His priest had come early to inquire after the king's welfare, and as he stood outside the door, he heard the words of the hymn and thought to himself, yesterday the king went hunting. He must have aimed at the stag and missed. Doubtless, the courtiers made fun of him, and the king must have decided to catch and kill the victim himself. He obviously chased the stag and on the way fell into a pit. Despite the king's determination to kill him, the noble golden stag rescued him. I think this is why the king is chanting such a hymn. Thus, the priest heard every word of the hymn and what had happened to the king on the previous day, because the king was chanting out loud, like a confession about everything, and became clear to him as a face reflected in a well-polished mirror. He knocked at the door. Who is it? Called out the king. Is it I, my lord, your priest? Come in, said the king, and opened the door. The priest entered the king's chamber and said, great king, I know what happened to you in the forest yesterday. You chased a stag and you fell into a pit. Leaning on a rock, the stag pulled you out of the pit and thus saved your life. The king thought, how can this be? This man did not go hunting with me yesterday, and yet he knows exactly what took place. Is he a magician? So he asked the priest, priest, you were not with me yesterday. Are you having superhuman powers? Are you a magician? So the priest said, no, I'm not a magician. Great king, I neither saw nor heard anything yesterday, but I was standing outside your door when you sang the hymn in praise of the noble stag, and that is how I knew what took place yesterday. The king was delighted with the priest's wisdom and gave him a rich reward. From then onwards, the king led a pious life and regularly gave alms to the poor in his kingdom. His subjects also followed the example of their king and devoted their lives to performing good deeds. One day, Saka, the king of the gods, was sitting on his throne in heaven, and he began to wonder where all the new sons and daughters of the gods had come from. So thinking over the matter, he remembered how King Brahmadatta had been rescued by a stag from a pit, and how he and his subjects had led virtuous lives thereafter. These subjects had gone to heaven and were the new sons and daughters of the gods. Saka resolved to test the king's virtue and, making himself invisible, came down to earth. Wow, it's nice, huh? Just one noble stag and then make the whole country became virtuous and noble. So actually we don't have to be in a high position to rescue sentient beings or to make a good example for others to follow. Even as a stag, we can do that. This story just to show, as many other stories, that the Buddha in his previous lifetimes has always been noble and virtuous and has always been doing many things benefit mankind and his own species. Therefore, after accumulating a lot of merit like this over the lifetimes, the Buddha has become what? Buddha! So that morning, the king has gone to the park with his priest to practice shooting at a target. He held his bow and arrow ready when Shaka, by his supernatural powers, made the stag appear between the king and the target. At once the king lowered his bow. Then Shaka, he used his magical power to force the priest to speak. Huh? The priest speak to the king like this: "Oh, great king, your arrow can kill the most powerful animal. Why don't you shoot? Let your arrow fly and kill the stag. His meat is worthy of being tasted by a monarch like you." The king replied, "I know that as well as you, priest. Stag's meat is well worth eating by warriors, just as myself. But this stag once did me an unforgettable service, and therefore I will not kill him." So the priest continued, tempting him, "Great king, this is no stag, but a giant. You are the king of men. Kill him, and you shall become the king of gods. But if you hesitate to kill the stag because he once befriended you, then you, your queen, and your children will descend into the cold river of death and live with Yama, the dread king of the underworld." "So be it," the king said. "Send me, my wives, my children, and all my friends and comrades to death's river and death's king. But I will never commit this fool deed, and this stag will never die by my hand. Once in a forest, this very stag saved my life. How can I possibly kill him?" Then Shaka, the god of gods, appeared in his own form before the king and said, "May you live long, sure, true, and faithful friend. Rule your people wisely and justly. When you come to heaven, you shall reign among the gods. You are possessed of great powers. Play your part well on earth, and heaven will be your final reward. I came to earth only to test you, great king. I have found you worthy of my trust. Continue to care for your subjects and all strangers in your kingdom." Saying this, Shaka the god vanished in a cloud of mist and returned to his kingdom in heaven. Good story, huh? I'm also very grateful for the translator to make this Sanskrit stories available to us. All this story I told you may be true, maybe not, huh? But the logic and the virtues and the moral lessons inside are worth for us to contemplate. Thank you for your loving attention.
Thank you for joining us for Between Master and Disciples. Up next, Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, right after Noteworthy News, here on Supreme Master Television. May your life be filled with heaven's peace and happiness.